Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
So what is the question of the
Speaking
day?
Speaking of which.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys saw this, and we probably need to explain it for the listeners anyway. Donovan Mitchell went for 46 last night, and people were saying, you know, what was it? And we'll play the audio later, but he basically said, I was playing some snotty-nosed prepubescent teen in NBA 2K, and he started calling me names and said I was over the hill and I was trash. And
so he knew he was playing with
Spite.
Donovan Mitchell.
So he told the kid,
Spite.
While he's gaming, he goes, watch tonight.
He
went out and had 46. What's the most childish thing you do?
Okay, before we do that, Crosstalk brought to you by D&M Auto Leasing. You're listening to KLTM, KLTFM, HD2 Houston, and Odyssey Sports Station. Forgetting to do the tag there is
That's childish.
I'd
say Donovan Mitchell admitting to the fact that, like, oh, apparently, so... That's what you need for motivation?
Didn't we learn a few years back that even the best, Michael Jordan, the pettiest and stupidest reasons to go out here and be great?
No, especially, well, because there's also a guy going into a game, usually shouldn't be focused in on I'm going to score 40 points or whatever. This game, he was like, okay, nope, I'm going to do that. That's going to be my goal tonight.
Mine is nothing petty like that. You're just talking about childish, right?
I'll get back to what you expected from me in a minute.
Okay. Mine is probably anything having to do with professional wrestling. Like, I'm a 56-year-old man wearing a Yeet t-shirt for Jey Uso.
You've got a belt.
I have a Texans championship belt that I bring to the stadium every day. I bought a Rowdy Rod Piper t-shirt on Amazon on an impulse buy last week.
I built a fort out of couch cushions not too long ago.
That's awesome.
When I was home alone. Yeah.
Oh, you didn't do it for like a child.
I didn't do it for a kid or anything. I did it for myself.
What did you do while you were down in there? Did you bring like a laptop?
I did when I was a kid. I realized really quickly it gets hot in here really fast. I was like, no, my idea was like, I want to see what it's like. I'm just going to watch TV but have like the fort. Yeah. So it was an open-ended igloo, you know, facing the television.
So awesome.
And it kind of, because I was watching I had left a box laying around, an Amazon box, and the cat was in it. Because our cat, cat's immediately box, I got to get in there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh yeah, I'm going to build a fort and just feel cozy. And it got too hot. But it was fun building it.
Yeah.
I felt like it was I took more care and precision to get the right angles and everything. Yeah.
Dude, was there anything better than a badass fort that you built in the living room?
Yes, there was. Like it was jumping on top of the fort when one of your siblings was inside of it. That was better than building it.
Oh, just destruction. Yeah, of course. That's very childish.
Is that your revenge? On your brother back in the day, or did he do that to you?
Oh, I never had the guts to jump on his fort. No.
Yeah, because eventually you still lose, right? You end up in a wrestling match.
I thought about dousing it with kerosene and lighting it on fire, but I would never jump on it.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be doing anything crazy like that.
Oh, that's great.
So I'm the one that my wife, and I know you, there's a track record here.
Very much so.
But like, we'll be whatever, talking or whatever, and she'll say, oh, you're a moron. And I do the little kid thing every time. You're a moron.
Yes.
I know you are, but what am I? Yeah.
Yeah, repeating somebody's, or doing that, just repeat what they're saying.
Don't be dumb. You're
That's
dumb.
Underrated.
Yeah. I do that all the time.
You just keep,
only with her.
But I'm saying the next step up is just become the say everything they're saying.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, just repeat everything they're saying. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Repeat it, but then you want to go another notch?
Yeah.
Do it in a voice like this. You're a moron.
You're a moron.
Yeah.
Stop being childish.
We got all the weapons.
You stop being childish.
Yeah.
I'll add that too. No, you stop it.
You stop.
Don't do that. You don't do that.
I do. You know, I miss, I do miss. why are you punching yourself? You grab somebody's fist and you're like, why are you punching yourself? Or was that not a thing? I thought that was a standard thing.
You got to remember, you were a larger person. You had the ability.
My brother
to
did it to that me, though, too. People. Even as my brother was doing it to me, I'd be like, I have to admit this is kind of funny.
Good bit.
My kids are all in their 30s, and we used to call them frogs. Remember frogs? You just kind of pop them in the leg with that knuckle.
Oh, a Charlie horse? We call it a Charlie horse.
People call it different things. Yeah. Okay. Like, they'll be walking by, and I'll just go.
Yeah.
My brother used to do it. He'd just walk up and go, I had a horse. His name was Charlie. Right in the thigh. Right in the thigh.
And I still do that.
Yeah.
We had a phase in our high school where it was just the random nut shots. Hard. Like, that was like that. Yeah. That was the prank we were pulling on each other. That's was walk past that's your buddy and just, rah!
That's mean, man.
Oh,
man.
No, thank you.
All right, boys. Crosstalk brought to you by D&M Auto Leasing. Antibodies to you, my fine nut-punching friend.
Antibodies and a Charlie to you!
Yeah! And a horse. All right, we are done. We are out of time. Reggie, out of time.
You're done.
I'm done.
Reggie, you're done.
Reggie.
You're listening to KIOT.
Figgy's mocking my station ID.
You're listening to the KIOT.
All right.
Reggie Atatula, John Lopez, Figgy Fig, they're in the loop. Rent a car with DMNO, DMN Auto Leasing.
Start now.
God, one of my favorite parts of my day. The crosstalk appreciation to D&M Auto Leasing for getting us that. All right, let's get.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Get going and let's
you
try.
Get going.
I'm going to be an adult for a majority of the show.
It's about to be a childish.
I know, it's going
to
be so bad.
You're going to do it for 4 hours.
It's going to be so bad. But we're going to have fun with it, right? It's a Thursday here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. You know the people involved. John Lopez, Reginald Atula, Figgy Fig on the ones and twos. And you, via the various means that you can get involved here, which I see it already on the text line, 713-572-4610. Nuh-uh. Yeah, huh? Yeah. Be as childish as you want to be there, 713-572-4610, as we talk through the show today. Also, appreciation to the Mocarum Injury Lawyers for the live streams, both on the YouTube page, Sports Radio 610, and on the Twitch chat, 610 Houston. Let's have some fun talking about sports on this day.
Let's try to have some fun.
Yeah, because one thing I could tell you that was not fun was seeing the scroll unfurled when we got the inactive or the injury report yesterday.
It was like one of those big, like, literal scrolls.
Yeah, it was just like, all right, so here are the people that did not practice today. Whop! It's like, oh, is that all of it?
That's all of it.
Do you need all of that? Yeah, there was a lot of people who did not practice yesterday for the Texans. It wasn't just because, obviously we have the various media members who are out there at practice.
Yeah. And well, I have the official list in front of me if you want to read it.
Well, the media members will let us know, I'm not seeing this person.
Yeah.
But the needed caveat in those times is, but, that's during the portion that's open to the media. We have the official list, and it is long. You want to go ahead? You want to do a segment that I like to call reading?
Yeah, I'm just going to do the did not participate, which is the most dire.
Right, this isn't even limited practice. Yeah. This is just dudes that did not participate in practice yesterday. You ready?
Nico Autry, knee, and I'm going to say the injury designation because it's key. Nico Autry, knee. Okay. Will Anderson, quad. Harrison Bryant, shoulder. Nick Chubb, foot. Kyahmi Fairbairn, right quad. Christian Harris, shin. Tytus Howard, concussion.
Ooh.
Ed Ingram, knee. Jalen Petrie, concussion.
Wait a minute.
Which was a bit of a surprise. And CJ Stroud, concussion. Dude, that is a lot.
All right, so let's work our way through this, because now, for the first time this season, you got to come back around and say, you are the team that is battered and bruised. There's been a number of times where we talked about battered and bruised, but usually it's been the other team that you've been playing and trying to figure out what that means for the Texans as some level of measuring stick. Ain't no measuring stick. You are battered and bruised. How do you handle this? And the first one that comes to mind with me is, wait a minute, Jalen Petrie got a concussion? When did that come from?
Yeah, that was quite the surprise. So teams like to say, next man up, next man up. And so I kind of was thinking about that in my head as I'm going through this 10 players did not participate. That's not to mention the others. And this is one of those serious questions. Do we even know who the next man up is with these players?
Well, that I will come back to the one that jumps off the page there. Jalen Petrie, the answer is no.
I have no idea.
Because not only is your direct line of succession not there, right? You don't have that safe.
It's not on the depth chart.
Backup, right? That was one of those things that, you know, last year, Arthur Millett was the one who you had, or the guy that you brought in that you were looking at. Okay, is this going to be the guy that fills that role? MJ Stewart, Miles Bryan, I guess, is probably who you would look at. In that capacity, I believe on your, and I guess, yeah, you'd have to go to your practice squad, right? It'd be Miles Bryant because he kind of stood in there. Maybe that's the practice squad elevation as the answer there. But the one that I think the answer that you had previously had and one that it seemed like you did a little bit of in this game, this past game versus the Broncos, was a little bit of musical chairs, which is play someone at cornerback, slide Kamari Lassiter into the slot, which, I mean, he's been fantastic this year all the way around. That's not available to you, I don't imagine, because Jalen Smith, a dude who you felt confident playing, has gone to the injured reserve this week. Elijah Huzzy is just making his way back, but how much do they believe in him to put him out there on the perimeter and not just in spots situations consistently? That is actually a little bit of a dent in the armor of what has been one of, if not the single best defenses in the league in a week where you're going to need it.
And the Texans have been, by and large, healthy. I mean, there's been some stuff, but by and large...
Yeah, nicks and bruises. You're playing the car crash sport.
They've had an advantage against teams like, well the Ravens, the Niners, because they've been the healthier team. But let's go through some of these, because literally, in the case of Jalen Petrie, I truly have no idea. You just laid it out as well.
Right.
All right, Nick Chubb. Who's the next man up? Obviously, Woody.
Damian Pierce, baby!
Agumba Wale?
No, I think
British Brooks, for God's sakes, maybe
that's one of those maybe. Well, I think the criticism of Damian Pierce is rightful here because again, he's not Andre. I love you, Andre. I do, but I didn't realize I was gonna have a real back and forth
conversation
with
him.
But yeah, I think the distinction that you have with Damian and Nick Chubb, as much as they feel like they are closer to the similar profile of the guy who has a little bit more heft compared to the Woody Markses who run the football, is still, I trust Nick Chubb's like read and react ability more. Mm-hmm. And that's necessary, especially when you need to be able to find that gap and hit it properly. But that's either way, last week, you're coming off a week where you didn't run the ball particularly well.
Right. And so you should, I know there was always exceptions, but you should pretty much know who the next man up is in most of these cases. So let's go through it.
I think I still think it's Damian. British Brooks is interesting because he is somebody that they seemingly consider as a little bit of the heft.
Has carried the ball.
Right, and they've willingly let him carry the ball a few times this year.
But I think
would they be willing to let him do that to the degree that they let Nick Chubb? Like, even if Nick Chubb in some of these games where his workload has decreased to maybe somewhere a little bit closer to like 12 carries, something in there. Are you giving British Brooks that many carries?
I don't know. If we're answering the question, do you know who the next man up is? Jalen Petrie, no. Nick Chubb, you seem to say pretty confident as Damian Pierce. I don't know. They love Agumba Wale, and I don't know about British.
They do, but Agumba Wale is even when they are willing to get aggressive with it, it's still largely third down situations, and it seems like the logic there is, well, we like him in pass protection situations and catching the ball in the backfield. Like, that is not the same thing as when you put number 21 Nick Chubb out there. And maybe this is some level of encouraging for you when it comes to run stop win rate. Mm-hmm. The Jaguars are 29th, which is third worst. So, like, we're not looking at an incredible run stopping team. So maybe that gives you some level of solace. But I mean, I'm picking nits here.
There is a pass rush. What about Tytus Howard? Do you know who the next man up is?
It is Blake Fisher.
Trent Brown?
I know what the answer is there. I don't know how comfortable you are with the answer. It is Blake Fisher. As much as I hear what you're saying,
I don't know.
I think that okay, so.
The only way.
Take a bite of the jumbo package.
The only way I can get to the idea of Trent Brown being the guy that steps up for Tytus Howard over Blake Fisher is maybe Blake Fisher was the guy that they kept active because of his ability to play on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
But I think even then, you would still have try to have Trent Brown active in case you needed him to actually play on that right side.
Right.
But yeah, we haven't seen him play. We haven't seen him really get these opportunities.
We don't know what he is.
And I think that they, in fact, why am I saying this? D'Amico has basically said, hey, Blake, it's Blake's. You know, yesterday he talked about, like, hey, Blake needs to get in there. You know, he has the opportunity to show his wares.
Ed Ingram?
I'm
guessing Juice? That's,
yeah, well, we saw what they went to, which was Juice playing on the right side and Lake and Thomas on the left
side. Jared Patterson is still around.
Jarrett Patterson is, but we saw what they're... Well, I guess, was Jarrett Patterson active last week? I need to go back and double-check that. But we saw what their decision was in the moment. I imagine that it's probably similar there, especially because they believe both Lakin Tomlinson and Juice Scruggs capable of playing and being a starter. So I think that... I did say believe.
Yeah.
I want to make sure I say that. They believe that, and so... I think that that's the way that they go. Again, I don't know if these are answers that you like, but I think these are answers that they go to.
What about Will Anderson Jr.? Keep in mind, Danico Autry also did not participate. Now, today is going to be key because he has done this before, Will Anderson Jr., not practice on Wednesday and then practice on Thursday. I think last week he did that. But nevertheless, he did not participate. What do you do if Will Anderson Jr. can't go and Danico Autry is already out too?
Yeah, I mean, well, that's one of those positions where you just have less rotation, but you put Derek guys Barnett. Like Derek Barnett out there, and I think you feel pretty okay with it. Now, having Darrell Taylor also going to IR, you're thinner there. Mm-hmm. You're thinner there at pass rusher than you had previously been, or at least that you would want to be. I correct me if you think I'm wrong here. I think that Will Anderson Jr. will thug it out.
Like, I think so, too.
But the question that I do have, though, is to what degree of effectiveness will he be? Because that's a tissue injury, right? Like, that is a quad. And I believe him capable of, like, you know, managing pain.
Aggravation is on the table.
All of that. All of that is things that come to mind for me. Of course, we're early. This is Wednesday. You still have a Thursday practice, which is still that full degree. And maybe they're limited. But, yeah, that's one that I feel like he'll play. But now, I do have questions.
Now, Kyemi Fairbairn is, we know who the guy is, the next man up there. It's Matthew Wright. But D'Amico said at the end of his comments about Kyemi yesterday, that something along the lines of with Kyemi down, as if he's not going, he's definitely not going to play.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's Matthew Wright.
He gave the game away.
Yeah.
It's Matthew Wright. Is it Dare Gumbawale? No, I feel like it's Matthew Wright. Like, D'Amico put all the sauce on it that I would expect coach who was like, we were trusting this dude. He was like, hey, he's a great kicker in the league, and we're glad that he was available for us when we needed him.
He's a journeyman. This is his eighth team.
It is. And for a singular game, that could be useful. Now, the problem is your offense is not one as such that you can just bring up a kicker and be like, hey, we're going to have minimal work for you. He's probably going to have to take some kicks.
They like to kick field goals.
And they're going to need to figure out what his range is, because this is not a team that I feel confident in. Mm-hmm. We're going to get in the red zone and get to a place where even if we ask them to kick, they're manageable.
Yeah.
You run Kyemi out there for long 40s and 50s in a regular circumstance. So they're going to have to figure out very quickly what his range is, and I imagine they're going to have to find a level of trust with him fairly quickly.
And there is one more, and I definitely want to get to it before we get out of here.
Or they're just going to put the ball in Davis Mills' hands more.
Because, correct me if I'm wrong, if I'm seeing this right, the Texans have exactly one tight end right now that is relatively healthy, and that is obviously Dalton Schultz. Harrison Bryant did not participate. Cade Stover still on IR.
Yeah, and
they have one tight end.
And I was about to say, like, maybe they activate Cade, but I feel like we would have already had some idea of him getting out
for
here
practicing.
So yeah.
So there goes the jumbo package, and
there you go. That's the thing.
And one tight end.
That are you going to see four wide sets?
I don't know.
Right, like, because remember, Dalton Keene also is off the practice squad. They released him in order to make some of the moves that they did this week. Dalton Schultz, I still feel comfortable and confident with him getting out there in the role that they have settled in with him. But if Harrison Bryant is in a bad place, like, what does that look like? Because it seems like they were just going to, I mean, D'Amico, when talking about this game in the second half where they lost some pieces, they were like, where they lost rather Tytus, and then you have Blake in, so you don't have, you know, the six offensive linemen. They were like, yeah, well, we have our running backs and our tight ends where we can still do the things and do our offense. Well, what happens if you don't have the benefit of your six offensive linemen, or if, you know, Tytus, or I know Trent Brown will be active, but maybe they trust Trent Brown to step in there And are they going to do that consistently? They're going to have to be creative on top of the questions and you know that DeMeco already put up that they need to find changes. There's a lot on the plate of the coaching staff to try and mitigate these things. Someone asked, are we waving the white flag? No, but we have to acknowledge this becomes a more difficult game just off of the strength of injuries are piling up at the worst time.
Yeah.
All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610, just getting going on a Thursday. Coming up next, the Astros. Astros had a little bit of news this morning. It seems like they, at least per reports, have a new hitting coach. Are you encouraged? 713-572-4610. We'll talk about that more next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Reginald Atula, Figgy Fig, hanging out with you. I see you, Ren. We'll talk about the Rockets. Don't even worry about it. Got a victory on the road in Memphis. I was talking about it with Figgy earlier because yesterday I was like, yeah, they're playing in Memphis, and let me not do that. That let me not do that was, I was like, this is one of those guarantee games.
No one could have blamed you.
I know, yeah. But I'm not even superstitious, but
that's why in real time, I'm like, I think you can say it, man. Yeah. They are to do it. They are a mess.
They're a mess.
Didn't want to do it. But thankfully, Jabari Smith played because, I mean, Jabari and Steven Adams were both questionable. Mm-hmm. Jabari played, and there's always a clear difference when he's on the court.
They probably didn't even need him for this game, to be honest.
Probably not.
Yeah, but, I mean, I needed to see the difference in
Memphis is a bleep hole right
yes,
now,
they
man.
Are.
At least the team. Yeah. I don't want to speak about the city themselves. Mm-hmm. Now that all that AI y'all using might
awesome.
Be helping the city.
The city's awesome.
Mess up, but we'll talk about that. But I did want to mention this because it seems like today there's a little bit of news for your Houston Astros, right, who are figuring out their offseason circumstance or at least heading into that, you know, coming off of a season that they missed the playoffs. You know, there's even more talent that imagine will be going out the door. So there's a lot of things they need to figure out. And more importantly, they had some members of the staff that they decided to not have return, including both of the hitting coaches. Well, as of this morning, I saw it. Brian McTaggart was confirming that the Astros seemingly have a new hitting coach. The deal is done for Victor Rodriguez to join the major league staff as the hitting coach for your Houston Astros. Victor Rodriguez, who the last couple of seasons was the hitting coach for the San Diego Padres. Are you encouraged by this, John Lopez?
Well, first of all, in general, how can you not be? Just because, you know, let's go back, and if you just look at the entirety of the season, talking about being more selective since training camp, you know, and maybe starting out like that and then just being very unselective at the plate. Some of the ways that that they performed at the plate. And I always feel bad because the hitting coach is always the first, you know, and pitching coach are always the first to get blame.
Yes.
But I thought it was very, you know, accurate in this case. And so that's just in general, yes, you know, you needed a new hitting coach. To get this guy, I hope people understand how good this guy has been. I think they were the best, they made the biggest leap in terms of hitting from 1 year to the next with him in place.
From 24 to 25?
Yeah. And so very wide, you know, very much respected, has been at the, you know, all the way up the ladder, just like a player. You know, he's been in the minor leagues, came up. I believe he was, I'm going to forget the names of the previous teams with the Padres. But I'll tell you how good he is. Like, I had heard about him, you know, before they hired him, and you start, you know, kind of digging in. I was like, yeah, you know, you see him, you see some games, you see some reports, and, you know, they talk about Rodriguez and the magic that he seems to. So, yes and yes in terms of you need to be excited.
Teams that he had coached with, he had been with the Red Sox from 13 to 17.
That was the one I was thinking of.
Then he played, he was with, rather, Cleveland from 18 to 23. Then that's when he took the Padres job. The interesting thing, and I wonder how much does this matter to you, that he was with the Padres for a couple of seasons. One of the reasons why, it's not like the Padres fired him. However, the manager had been fired there. And so they're in the midst of trying to figure out who the new manager is. And I imagine he was like, I'm not going to wait and see if I remain on the staff when I can go get a new job that creates, I imagine, a level of security.
So they mutually parted ways.
I don't even think it's mutual. I think he decided he was ready to go with this. But the Padres in his first season played really, really good. Mm-hmm. And then the second year, there was actually a decline in hitting. Now, there is question even amongst Padres fans and such that, you know, were these changes that led to, you know, less production at the plate? Was that his philosophy or was that the manager's philosophy, right? Because, you know, there's some level of, if you are on somebody's staff, you need to abide by what they would like for you. But yeah, I those kind of bring some things to me, but I think I lean to where you are. Like, mm-hmm. he seems to be a good hitting coach. The question that I ultimately come back to is, can he change the dudes that you have?
Right, and it ultimately comes, I mean, they have a roster in San Diego too. So it ultimately comes down to the guys that you have. And really, you know, some of the veteran guys, I think the communication is going to be really, really good with Correa and Altuve. And so there's a good buffer there. It doesn't hurt, you know, that he's Hispanic, you know, if we're being honest.
Puerto Rican.
Yeah.
Puerto Rican.
And that's a heavy, you know, Hispanic lineup here in Houston, like a lot of places. But the other thing that I did notice, like I said, I'd heard of him. So I knew this, you know, he had some pedigree. But when you dig in on it a little bit, this is channeling Reggie Atotula.
Yeah.
Very low chase rate. Very low chase rate traditionally under his realm.
He going to do anything with Yainer Diaz?
Yeah, well.
Like, that's the thing is, yeah. I am encouraged that at least there's going to be more of a push for that. I just don't know if that'll actually make the change. And there's still big questions to be answered. I think that Chandler Rome did a great piece. I think the fellows in the morning were talking about this. There's still some questions that you need to figure out, which is we've talked about somewhat the logjam that you have when you talk about your lineup. Both, you know, you got a couple of guys that you need to play at DH or that you should play at DH, but you have to find places for. There's the third base or corner infield rather between Carlos Correa, Isak Paredes, and let's be honest, Christian Walker. Like, what do you do with that triumvirate of guys that probably have those two spots? Who?
Christian Walker should be thrilled.
You think so? You think that this gives them more likelihood that he remains?
Well, I don't know if he does remain. Let me qualify it. But if he does remain, he should be thrilled because he was a basket case at various points during the season. You know, and new blood, new eyes. You know,
maybe that allows him to get back to his level.
Mm-hmm.
There's questions to be had, but I think I'm I guess we're at the time of year where you really have no. Well, not no choice, but it feels like you're more inclined towards being hopeful. And I hope that this is helpful, especially a dude that's kind of been at it on the on the levels of actually playing the game, having some of those baseball mindsets.
Yeah.
But then I obviously working in a staff like the Padres that you know are going to be analytic inclined. I don't know how much this actually changes when you look at the roster and once they actually figure out what the roster is, some of the tent poles are still going to be guys that are relatively free swingers. How much are you going to be able to shift that? Mm-hmm. Because this season, that was an emphasis going in, and it still was. The guys that you brought in.
Altuve all of a sudden becomes.
No, it was still Isak Paredes who had a good eye. It was Christian Walker who had a good eye until he was so bad that he just started swinging wildly. And then everybody else was still the same guy, right? I don't know how much that changes, but I'm excited to see if it does, especially because, like a lot of baseball fans, like you watch the game and it creeps up with you. Mm-hmm. What are they doing with the hitting coach? Well, now you got a new hitting coach. Let's see if it shifts for your Astros. But there you go. Vic Rodriguez, as he's referred to, the new hitting coach for your Astros. And I'm interested. I mean, if nothing else, there is something else to kind of watch when it comes to your Astros as they're going through the offseason, getting themselves situated for another year. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, a question of the day that it seems like people are already buying into. Inspired by Donovan Mitchell going and dropping 46 out of pure spite for a child. what's the most childish thing that you've done as an adult? 713-572-4610. Let's do that next. All right, text line open, 713-572-4610, and it's particularly useful in this moment. Let us know. What your answer to the question of the day is. What's the most childish thing that you've done as an adult? Let us know.
Mm-hmm.
Let's have fun in this moment, especially because I know that some people, you know, are in a place where you're looking at Houston sports outside of Houston Rockets and you go, maybe not the most happy right now. Let's find reasons to be happy, especially because I feel like that's the childlike thing to do.
Yes, it is. we get what's the most childish thing you do as an adult? All these things that I do are just flooding in now because I was talking earlier, like I always, and she hates it, which is why I do it. Like if my wife says, and by the way, this is all, do we have the audio? This is all because Donovan Mitchell was playing a video game, NBA 2K, with some...
He's playing online, and you know, when you play online, kid. Some kid will match up with you, whatever.
And this happened.
I wouldn't put the game that I had based on the court. This kid pissed me off today. I was playing 2K. I've been playing 2K for like 2 hours, and I told him, too. I was like, wait, just wait. He just called me washed up. He called me a bunch of things. But I love it, you know what I mean? He said he ain't seen a highlight from me in a minute. And I just told him, all right, we'll see. He said, tell me to go to sleep. Like, he was going in.
Told him to go to sleep.
So this game was for that kid or grown man, whoever that was.
That's cool. That's probably good, Biggie. But, yeah, you're trash, man.
You want his numbers on the day?
46.
46 points, 8 assists, 15 of 21 shooting, which is good for 71% from the field. 6 of 11 from the 3, which is good for 55% from 3.
Yeah.
10 of 10 from the free throw line. He was just like, I am going to kill the Philadelphia 76ers because some child
about to bust your ass.
Decided to talk crazy
all because
to
this little kid.
And he was thinking about the kid. He even said later in that audio, he said it. He goes, I even told him after I do it, I'm going to give you a shout out. So I am.
Very very Michael Jordan-like.
It does go to show you, before we get to some of the silly stuff that we're getting, like true, you know, elite scorers, they can do that just about any time they really want to just dominate the ball.
It kind of pisses me off at times, too, because it's like, why you don't do this every single night?
Because they don't dominate the ball. They don't make their own shots, force things and all that. But they really can. I mean, like a lot of times you see it at the end of the season with a scoring title on the line. Like 1 year, Kobe scored like 62 or something because he needed it for the title and all that. Like, dude, you can do that anytime you want. But the most childish thing, so... I was saying, I do it just to make her mad, which is very childish.
Of course. I expect nothing less from you, John
Lopez. Like, we'll be having a discussion and she'll go, well, that's just dumb. You're dumb. Well, stop it. You stop it.
Unbelievable. That would piss me off.
Really and truly.
I would stop talking to you.
Well, that's the idea.
But, oh, okay. This is no, weaponized.
Then
okay.
She starts throwing stuff at me.
Well, I'm glad that she has some level of give back. I don't think that it works. I need to see what she does to try and get back at you. Because right now, like your account in that marriage just seems like it's far insufficient funds.
You're insufficient.
There's a couple of things, and one of them, shout out to B. Scott from Hiram Clark, being involved with the program. Also, he let us know that no matter what, even at his big age, he still jumped to touch the top of that door frame. You know what I mean? Like, especially, this is a guy thing. Like, guys being dudes, just pretend like you dunking.
Yep.
Go up and touch that thing up
or
there.
Or do
just
you
make
do
sure
a random crossover
jump
to somebody? Oh, yeah. Walk in the hallway.
Or if it's not a random crossover, I feel like there's one of three.
You do
dudes.
This all the time.
I do.
Shot.
I do. You see it, right?
There's the jump shot.
There's the jump shot. There's the swing. You know, you got to practice your swing. Or there's the golf swing. I think there's three different guys. Yeah. And they might all be the same dude at different
ages.
Oh,
guys do that all the time. They do their little waggle.
Yeah, do your waggle. Get your golf swing together. The one for me, actually, one that I did around you guys this week, sometimes I just skip.
Yeah, he skipped. I saw him skipping down the hall. Yeah.
Just skip. Like, it's one of those things.
Skip.
Skip. Have you realized that you move faster when you skip than you walk?
You do.
But it's also more efficient than running. Like, you're not using as much energy as running. And sometimes I'm just like, you know what?
And
we're skipping right now.
And it's impossible to be in a bad mood.
That's a great point.
Like, it's impossible. You cannot be in a bad mood if
you're
skipping.
You're just mad cussing and skipping.
The other thing I do a lot of times, like if there's a wad of paper, I don't just throw it into the trash can. Like, I'll try to ricochet it off of something. And I always do this. I go, watch this. Guys do that. Watch this.
I do love that about kids, though, because kids will always be, hey, watch me.
Watch this.
No matter what it is. It's something stupid. They're about to fail doing a flip. Watch.
Yeah.
I like that you still got that going.
Or doing a jump shot to throw something away.
Mine, this one, I kind of irritate my wife with this. So my right knee, every time I bend it, it cracks. It got this nasty noise every time I bend it up and down. And she hates that noise. And so I wait until she's not in arm reach of me.
Yeah.
Because if I do it, she'll hit me.
Yeah.
So when she get far away enough, I start crack, 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 crack. And then she just try to find a pillow or something just to throw it at me. And then the other thing is, she called me childish for this. I'm a big popsicle guy.
Mm-hmm.
I would sit there. I would buy some popsicles from the grocery store. and I would eat like 10 of them at a time. I just have them laid out.
Just right ruining there, your
just,
dinner?
Yeah, just hanging from the mouth. Just popsicle, just going, just the old school popsicle.
Yeah.
She's like, you are such a kid.
That's right. From the 832, working at a gym, watching grown women taking a cycling class. Whine to management about someone taking their bike. Yeah, what is our human inclination towards assigned seats?
I was here first.
It's not even that. Like, in times where the seats are not assigned,
mm-hmm.
you can sit anywhere you want in any given time. We will always go to the same one and expect that one to be ours.
Yeah.
Like, why do we do that?
I think either Reggie or Figgy, I forget, in our group text, asked something, and my response was D's.
Oh yeah, a good D's nuts is always going to hit. It's always going to, and just in a similar way. I hate to actually say this out loud because I like it to just be something that goes under the radar. You never not going to get a nice for me when the numbers 69 come up. Like, you never. I'm going to give you a nice every single time. Why? Because I'm a child. I'm a large child. 100%.
Oh my goodness. But some of the other things is if you have younger siblings, doesn't matter how old you are. Like here I am at my age, and I'm the youngest. I still take crap. I still they give me the mess with my hair. You know, they'll punch you and all that. Doesn't matter. Younger siblings just get it. Doesn't matter how old you are.
Yeah, I mean, look, you got to do that.
Is it childish that I like not nothing crazy, but seeing somebody trip?
Oh, always funny.
Or stumble or something like that. Yeah. Not, I don't, you know, obviously if they hurt themselves, I'm not gonna laugh, but. Just seeing a fall, like an innocent fall, mm-hmm. I crack up every time.
Yeah. I firmly believe deep to my core that falling is funny. As long as somebody is healthy.
You know, falling is funnier when it's like a little kid that's stumbling. You like, oh, no! And then he take about maybe 5 seconds and start whining a little bit. Yeah. Like, oh.
Oh, good one from the 409. Kobe.
Anytime you throw something in the trash. Are the kids still on that? Because I feel like Kobe obviously gets a renaissance of sorts,
mm-hmm.
getting, you know, obviously with his passing and, you know, having more of like a place in our more modern cultural zeitgeist.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, has it always been Kobe? Like, did you used to throw things away before that when you were young? Like, Gervin, Iceman, or something like that?
Iceman, not really. Yeah. No, Kobe was a unique thing.
Yeah. To me, it was always Jordan, mm-hmm. and then in the
we didn't do
Kobe.
That with Jordan.
I remember doing that as a kid with Jordan.
You know one thing we used to do a lot of? The no look was magic.
Oh.
We'd go like that and then no look, magic. You know, that. Now that did happen a lot.
832, love me a good, that's what she said.
Oh, 100%.
Agreed.
100%.
Shout out to T. Mill texting in. Eat cereal on pace with little kids probably.
Oh, I have kids. Mm. I eat kids' cereal.
Mm.
But a lot of adults do that.
Yeah, but
is that childish or just?
No, I think the amount of cereal can be childish, which is funny because I don't eat cereal consistently. Mm-hmm. I just get in cereal fits.
Yeah,
like it'll be a good solid 3 weeks where I'll eat cereal probably about 6 times. You know, in that.
This is something my wife always do. Guess what?
Oh yeah.
Guess what?
Chicken butt.
Chicken butt.
Oh wow. Yeah, that's incredible. And then
guess why?
I'm not gonna
chicken thigh.
I haven't done that in the last year. I've done that a few times. Chicken butt.
And she would do it. She'd be upstairs. Edward, guess what? I'm like, what?
You thought he was being serious?
Yeah.
Chicken butt.
You thought she was being serious. Now you're mad for no reason.
I get to the point now, I know what it is. I'm just like, what? Chicken butt.
But going back to, like, obviously the story that brought us to this question of the day, Donovan Mitchell going for 46 and 8,
mm-hmm.
just because some kid was talking trash and telling him he was washed. Do you think that goes as far as like this one texter comes in with where they go, I think that the NBA players are the most lazy athletes because like you were talking about, those great athletes in the NBA can absolutely dial it up when they need to.
Yeah.
Do you believe that that's a sign of laziness? Because I'm
no, I think it's a lot of them like right here. Kevin Durant can score 40, 50 anytime he wants. If he just dominates the ball, takes the shots, dribbles, drives, free throws, that anytime he wants. But I think most of these great players, they truly do want to stay in the confines of the offense.
Because also I think they're kind of
pacing themselves too
well,
and all
pacing,
that.
But really like this is what we do. You know, so he does it. They do it.
I think also because, you have a lot of dudes that can score a lot of points, including I think some of those role players that you go, oh man, you only score 3 points a night. If you give them in the right circumstance, I think that's what we learned from the Linsanity to some degree is if you get them in the right circumstance where everything circles around them, they could put in some buckets, but The team concept is what's necessary to win when you're playing against other dudes that can do that.
Yeah.
And I think it's worth noting that when you're doing that on a regular basis every other night, you will peter out really quickly. I think that there's that also a conservation of things where you know when to go deep into the well to get there. So I don't know that I would call it laziness. I will say, though, I think it is fair to acknowledge, like, hey, if you could dial it up there, why not always run the touchdown play, right? Like, I think that that's the question that is worth asking to some degree. Y'all ain't stick your tongue out like Jordan. I guess you got to remember, I was not quite of the age to be able to do that in the same way.
I remember that. I remember I got my first pair of Jordans, and I remember us always going around just shooting air balls. Just Jordan. We was always doing that.
Oh, and this is a good one from Rob on the YouTube page. Anything mom.
Your mom?
Yeah.
Your mama?
I don't know. That's not what your mom said.
You got to be real careful with that, because you say that to the right one or the wrong one, depending.
Yeah.
Could be real problems. And this is one that actually I'm thinking about it. I've seen it in companies, in all sorts of circumstances, that tap on the other shoulder, trying to get people to look the wrong way. What does it even do for us?
Or the knee buckle? Ugh.
Oh, well, yeah, that's
the old dead leg.
Don't lock your knees up. Somebody said doing the D-Generation X, suck it, or you cross your arm. That's crazy. Yeah, keep enjoying that childishness on the text line, 713-572-4610. All right, coming up next, we go around the NFL, where actually there's some movement when it comes to NFL broadcasting and, unfortunately, some really sad news in the National Football League that we'll get you up to speed on. We'll do all that next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.